The Priest's Tale, The Man Who Cried God. "Sometimes there is a thin line separating Orthodox zeal from apostasy," said Father Lennar Hoyt. So began the priest's story. Later, dictating the tale into his comm log, the consul remembered it as a seamless whole, minus the pauses, hoarse voice, false starts, and small redundancies which were the timeless failings of human speech. Lennar Hoyt had been a young priest, born, raised, and only recently ordained on the Catholic world of Pachim, when he was given his first off-world assignment. He was ordered to escort the respected Jesuit father Paul Duret into quiet exile on the colony world of Hyperion. In another time, Father Paul Duret certainly would have become a bishop and perhaps a pope. Tall, thin, ascetic, with white hair receding from a noble brow and eyes too filled with the sharp edge of experience to hide their pain. Paul Duret was a follower of Saint Théar, as well as an archaeologist, ethnologist, and eminent Jesuit theologian. Despite the decline of the Catholic Church into what amounted to a half-forgotten cult, tolerated because of its quaintness and isolation from the mainstream of hegemony life, Jesuit logic had not lost its bite, nor had Father Duret lost his conviction that the Holy Catholic Apostolic Church continued to be humankind's last, best hope for immortality. To Lennar Hoyt as a boy, Father Duret had been a somewhat godlike figure when glimpsed during his rare visits to the pre-seminary schools, or on the would-be seminarian's even rarer visits to the New Vatican. Then, during the years of Hoyt's study in seminary, Duret had been on an important church-sponsored archaeological dig on the nearby world of Armagast. When the Jesuit returned, a few weeks after Hoyt's ordination, it had been under a cloud. No one outside the highest circles of the New Vatican knew precisely what had happened, but there were whispers of excommunication and even of a hearing before the Holy Office of the Inquisition, dormant the 4 centuries since the confusion following the death of Earth. Instead, Father Duret had asked for a posting to Hyperion, a world most people knew of only because of the bizarre Shrike cult which had originated there, and Father Hoyt had been chosen to accompany him. It would be a thankless job, traveling in a role which combined the worst aspects of apprentice, escort, and spy, without even the satisfaction of seeing a new world. Hoyt was under orders to see Father Duret down to the Hyperion spaceport, and then reboard the same spin ship for its return voyage to the world web. What the bishopric was offering Lennar Hoyt was 20 months in cryogenic fugue, a few weeks of in-system travel at either end of the voyage, and a time debt, which would return him to Pachim 8 years behind his former classmates in the quest for Vatican careers and missionary postings. Bound by obedience and schooled in discipline, Lennar Hoyt accepted without question. Their transport, the aging spinship HS Nadia Oleg, was a pockmarked metal tub with no artificial gravity of any sort when it was not under drive, no viewports for the passengers, and no onboard recreation except for the stim sims piped into the data link to keep passengers in their hammocks and fugue couches. After awakening from fugue, the passengers, mostly off-world workers, and economy-rate tourists with a few cult mystics and would-be Shrike suicides thrown in for good measure, slept in those same hammocks and fugue couches, ate recycled food in featureless mess decks, and generally tried to cope with space sickness and boredom during their 12-day, zero-G glide from their spin-out point to Hyperion. Father Hoyt learned little from Father Duret during those days of forced intimacy. Nothing at all about the events on Armagast, which had sent the senior priest into exile. The younger man had keyed his comlog implant to seek out as much data as it could on Hyperion, and, by the time they were 3 days out from planetfall, Father Hoyt considered himself somewhat of an expert on the world. There are records of Catholics coming to Hyperion, but no mention of a diocese there, said Hoyt one evening as they hung talking in their zero-G hammocks, while most of their fellow passengers lay tuned into erotic stim-sims. I presume you're going down to do some mission work?
Not at all, replied Father Duray. The good people of Hyperion have done nothing to force their religious opinions on me, so I see no reason to offend them with my proselytizing. Actually, I hope to travel to the southern continent, Aquila, and then find a way inland, from the city of Port Romance. But not in the guise of a missionary. I plan to set up an ethnological research station along the cleft.
Research? Father Hoyt had echoed in surprise. He closed his eyes to key his implant. Looking again at Father Duray, he said, That section of the Pinyon Plateau isn't inhabited, Father. The flame forests make it totally inaccessible most of the year. Father Duray smiled and nodded. He carried no implant, and his ancient comm log had been in his luggage for the duration of the trip.
Not quite inaccessible, he said softly. And not quite uninhabited. The Bikura live there.
Bikura? Father Hoyt said and closed his eyes. But they're just a legend, he said at last.
Said Father Duray. Try cross-indexing through Mammoth Spedling.
Father Hoyt closed his eyes again. General Index told him that Mammoth Spedling had been a minor explorer affiliated with the Shackleton Institute on Renaissance Minor, who, almost a standard century and a half earlier, had filed a short report with the Institute, in which he told of hacking his way inland from the then newly settled Port Romance, through swamplands which had since been reclaimed for fiberplastic plantations, passing through the flame forests during a period of rare quietude, and climbing high enough on the Pinyon Plateau to encounter the cleft and a small tribe of humans who fit the profile of the legendary Bikura. Spedling's brief notes hypothesized that the humans were survivors of a missing seed ship colony from 3 centuries earlier, and clearly described a group suffering all of the classic retrograde cultural effects of extreme isolation, inbreeding, and overadaptation. In Spedling's blunt words, Even after less than 2 days here, it is obvious that the Bikura are too stupid, lethargic, and dull to waste time describing. As it turned out, the flame forests then began to show some signs of becoming active, and Spedling had not wasted any more time observing his discovery, but had rushed to reach the coast, losing 4 indigene bearers, all of his equipment and records, and his left arm to the quiet forest in the 3 months it took him to escape. My God, Father Hoyt had said as he lay in his hammock on the Nadia Oleg. Why the Bikura?
Why not? Had been Father Duray's mild reply. Very little is known about them.
Very little is known about most of Hyperion, said the younger priest, becoming somewhat agitated. What about the Time Tombs and the legendary shrike north of the Bridal Range on Equus? He said. They're famous.
Precisely, said Father Duray. Lenar, how many learned papers have been written on the tombs and the shrike creature? Hundreds? Thousands?
The aging priest had tamped in tobacco and now lighted his pipe. No small feat in zero-G, Hoyt observed.
Besides, said Paul Duray, even if the shrike thing is real, it is not human. I am partial to human beings.
Yes, said Hoyt, ransacking his mental arsenal for potent arguments. But the Bikura are such a small mystery. At the most, you're going to find a few dozen indigenes living in a region so cloudy and smoky and unimportant that even the colony's own mapsats haven't noticed them. Why choose them when there are big mysteries to study on Hyperion, like the labyrinths? Hoyt had brightened. Did you know that Hyperion is one of the 9 labyrinthine worlds, Father?
Of course, said Duray.
A rough hemisphere of smoke expanded from him, until air currents broke it into tendrils and tributaries.
But the labyrinths have their researchers and admirers throughout the web, Lenore. And the tunnels have been there, on all 9 worlds, for how long? 500,000 standard years? Closer to 750,000, I believe. Their secret will last. But how long will the Bikura culture last before they're absorbed into modern colonial society, or more likely, or simply wiped out by circumstances?
Hoyt shrugged. Perhaps they're already gone. It's been a long time since Spedling's encounter with them, and there haven't been any other confirmed reports. If they are extinct as a group, then all of your time debt and labor and pain of getting there will be for nothing.
Precisely,
was all that Father Paul Doré had said, and puffed calmly on his pipe.